Good morning. I trust everyone had a good Christmas together, enjoying that time. You may have noticed it's raining, and we have a couple places that the rain is fighting so hard to get in here. And so I know this afternoon when that stops that Steve will be ready to get up on the roof and patch all that up. And so before I forgot, I wanted to tell you, Steve, I have a ladder. And it probably won't quite be long enough, but you can climb up from the top of it if you need to borrow that. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The church was not given holidays like the nation of Israel. The Israelites were given a number of holidays that they celebrated. The church was given something we do and observe every week, and that is communion, where we remember our Lord and Savior. We remember our God who loved us and gave us one who died for us and rose again for us. And yet, in Scripture, when we read about Jesus' birth, it is an amazing story. It was a major, major event. And we'll see that that even included thousands of angels. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, Scripture says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear." So, you know, as this begins, it jumps out at me that God doesn't do things like I would do things. Because we have God sending His Son Jesus to earth, and an angel comes and appears, and the angel will come and appear not to kings, not to the priests, not to the Jewish leaders, not to the important people. And that's how I would have done it. I mean, I would have sent the angel to go tell some important people. God sent His angel to go tell ordinary shepherds. And in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And it makes me stop and even ask this question: why did God send an angel? I mean, Jesus was being born either way. Why did God send an angel to tell shepherds to go see this child? Why did God do that? And we'll see in a minute that God did even more than that with a multitude of angels. But what we do see here is that, why did God make such a big deal out of Jesus' birth? And the answer is, this is the moment. In Scripture, we know the Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He," what? "Gave," sent, "His one and only Son." And this is the moment God did it. This is the moment that God sent His Son. And so verse 11, the angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This was the day that God sent Jesus to the earth. And so at creation, God planned this, planned it before creation. But finally came the day when God would send Jesus to the earth. And verse 12 says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And this, it's not like I would have done it, and probably not like you would have done it, but God sends Jesus in the most humble circumstances. It fits with everything else we know about Jesus in His life, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus had no home. He had no place to lay His head. He had no home of His own. He had no wife and children of His own. He didn't have the basic things that many of us enjoy. Jesus he wasn't treated like a king. And He didn't start out being treated like a king. He didn't get the birth in circumstances like you and I, or the birth of a king. In verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God." So a multitude of heavenly beings come and join this one angel, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Thousands of angels come. I would love to have seen that. Thousands of heavenly hosts come. And I would imagine before they came, I would imagine there was a lot of excitement in heaven because, as one of those angelic beings, this moment was not about Michael coming, not about Gabriel coming. This was thousands of us get to go to earth and glorify God. And thousands came. Why did God make such a big deal out of this? And the answer is because the Prince of Peace is being born. This is the day that God has sent His Son to die for us. Scripture tells us, if you look in Job 38:7, Scripture tells us that angels shouted at creation. Creation was a big day. If you look at the big days in the history of mankind, creation was a big day, right? When God started it all, big day. And the angels shouted on that day for joy. Well, the day that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that was a big day. And the day that Jesus rose from the dead, that was a big day. And the day that Jesus comes back will be a big day when everything will end. And the day that Jesus came and that God sent Him, it fulfilled that scripture that says God loved us so much He sent. It was a big day. The angels got to participate in it. On earth, peace among those whom He has pleased. You may be familiar with the wording of King James, which says, "On earth, goodwill toward men." In its basic sense, that's accurate. But more modern translations, having older manuscripts, translate this, "with whom He is pleased, on whom His favor rests, among the people who please God." And so that's really probably more truthful to what the original was. In other words, the idea is not that God is granting peace to all men. Does God do that? I mean, it rains on the just and the unjust, which means God loves all. But Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." And so it's a reminder that God is granting peace, but not with no stipulations. God doesn't grant peace to wickedness, but to those with whom He is pleased. And this is a type of peace that you and I cannot achieve. We can't make this peace with God, right? I can't go create peace with God. It's something that God had to do for me. He had to do for you. It's also, this peace in this context is not peace from war. It's not peace from trials. It's not peace from suffering. God hasn't promised the Christian that we would never suffer or struggle, has He? Or the church. Otherwise, Christians would really stand out to the world. You know, our homes would never get robbed. We would never get fired. We would right? We would never lose a child, a miscarriage. We would never have problems, but that's not the truth. But this is about peace between sinful man and a holy God. I saw a commercial recently. And in the commercial, it was about peace, and I won't say who the company was, but the commercial had this statement in it: "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Sounded good. I mean, it sounded really right. Peace, not war. I mean, and it had a good idea. Like, you do something about it. Let there be peace, but why don't you do something? But what's wrong with that statement? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. The longer I think about that statement, the more angry I get. It is one of the most asinine statements I've ever heard. And that's a fancy word for really, really dumb. Really dumb. Because peace never begins with me. It never begins with man. It always begins with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." That's talking about Jesus. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So God is the author of peace. God is the one where peace starts. And God brought about peace through the blood of his perfect son, Jesus. So peace on earth, in any form, it always starts with God. It never starts with me. Let it begin with me? No. No, that's a blasphemous statement. It always begins with God. And it was not, and it's not, it doesn't come in the form of all religions and all beliefs and all backgrounds holding hands and singing kumbaya. That's not God's peace. Right? We know that. But it comes through the blood of Jesus and all who will turn to Jesus and give their lives to him. Romans 1 verse 7, it reminds us of something else. This is something you've read, and you've read it in a number of Paul's letters. A number of the books in the New Testament read like this. They start like this. "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ." In 12 books of the New Testament, the books begin with a statement that says peace from God. Our peace is from God. It's not from me. It's not from you. It's not from sinful man. It's from God. And peace between sinful man, or man having sin, and a holy God has always been important to God. If you stop and think about when Jesus, remember the time Jesus is in the bottom of the boat sleeping, and his disciple, there's a storm, and the apostles think they're going to die, and they go and they wake Jesus. What Jesus says to the storm: "Peace, be still." When the woman came to Jesus who had an issue of blood and she wanted to be healed, and she came in the crowd and she came to Jesus and she touched Jesus and she was healed, Jesus said to her, "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." When the sinful woman came to Jesus when there was a dinner in his honor, and she came at his feet and she cried and wept over Jesus' dirty feet, wiped his feet with her hair, Jesus said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There's a passage that is powerful to me in Luke 1:76, and the passage is a prophecy about John the Baptist. It says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the," and I love this statement, "because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." God has always been about peace for his people. John 14:26, Jesus is about to leave his apostles and go to heaven, and he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." I'm glad that God wants there to be peace with me. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that you have a Father in heaven that wants peace for you? And the peace between me and my sinfulness and God and his holiness, that's the peace that God is about. I remember a time when Abby was a few years younger, and Stephanie was away for a night or two, and I was home with the girls, and Abby got sick. And she got a fever, a high fever. And she didn't feel good. And so there came the point that she was only comfortable sitting in the recliner with me. And I remember us sleeping with her sitting there in the recliner with me. And her arms around me. And I just can't help but picture it in my mind. You know how the mother monkey has the baby monkey just hanging on the side of it? And here we are in the recliner, and she's sleeping peacefully. And I loved it. The peace between a parent and child. God has always wanted closeness between you and Him. And ever since the Garden of Eden, when man chose sin and was separated from God, sin has separated every person from God. And since then, and this was God's plan before then, but God has been bringing about His plan so that He and you and I could enjoy that closeness. And God wants it in heaven when we will have it in a very real and literal way. But He also wants peace between He, the Holy Father, and His children. And there was only one way, and it was through Jesus' blood. It was through Jesus' blood on the cross. And so when God sent Jesus, it was a big day. Because that's when everything starts that leads to the cross and to the resurrection, so that God can have you and I in a spiritual sense close to His heart, no longer torn apart by sin, but now in harmony and in closeness and in peace. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Peace, perfect peace. It's an interesting song. It has a musically, it has a peaceful melody to it. But it reads, peace, just a couple verses, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrow surging round, on Jesus' bosom not a calm is found. Not but calm is found. I would imagine all of us here have something that weighs on our hearts. Something that if you stop and think about what's going on in your life, there's something that is bothering you or worrying you. And just a reminder this morning, God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for us, so we could have perfect peace with Him. If you're here this morning and you know you're not living right with God, you're not right with God, come and let us help you be right with God. If you're here this morning and there's something on your heart that you want us to lift up to God on your behalf, do that, and let's stand and sing together.